just installing electricity in buildings and just getting everything going. And we see that there are blue-collar gifts. Exodus chapter 31. You guys can jot these down. We're going to go through lots of verses, but Exodus chapter 31, verse 6, it says this, that God is speaking. He says, I have appointed him, Heliab, the son of Ashimach, of the tribe of Dan, and put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they make all that I have commanded you. And as you read on in that passage, just talking about the things that they made are the furniture, the table, the utensils, all the things in the tabernacle. These people were gifted by God as artists, as craftsmen, and they had these talents. That's kind of the blue-collar gifts. Love it. Love it. Often overlooked. So God not only gifts us, you know, with these good gifts and he gives us these talents physically, but we also receive spiritual gifts. Those are gifts. Often, are the first things we think about. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, we see some of the lists of the spiritual gifts. You see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's another list. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, there's a little bit more. In Ephesians 4:11, kind of finishes off all of the spiritual gifts. In Romans 12:6, we see that the gifts are given out by God's grace. And so by his grace, we receive spiritual gifts. We have these blue collar gifts. We just have just all these good things from the Lord, giving. And so we have so much from the Father that comes down from heaven. So it's not just these physical things, these spiritual things, but even he gives wisdom. Speaking of giving, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you want to be smarter, pray. Not just smart, but wisdom. You know, there's one thing to have knowledge, but wisdom is how to apply that knowledge. Lord, you've taught me so much. How do I apply this? Pray. God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so you look at all these things that we are given. I mean, wisdom. And you want to be smarter in these spiritual things. I could pray and get it liberally. Spiritual gifts. I mean, talents physically. Man, Lord, you're a giving God. And so easily, just, you know, in the first 5 minutes, we've talked about how giving our God is. So how are we to give? What's it look like for us? Being a child of God in the family of God, how are we to give? That's an important question. Well, I think that it should reflect the Father's giving. That's what. Our giving should reflect the way the Father gives to us. Matter of fact, I think we should have a attitude of gratitude in our giving. That our attitude should just be one of gratitude. That our giving shouldn't be mechanical. It shouldn't be out of duty, like I have to do this. It's something that's required of me because we had a workshop on giving. Right? I mean, how does that sound? It's like, are you giving because you want to? I mean, are you giving because you have to? Are you happy about this? I would say gratitude is when, for what the Lord has done through us. It's just, the day that we recognized that we needed a Savior and he kind of broke through those bonds, his love broke through those bonds, and we recognize that we need a Savior and we're, in this place of despair, right? And we receive that free gift by faith, and it's just like, Lord, everything I have is yours. I mean, you remember that day? I remember what it was like for me. I mean, I would have given everything at that moment. I mean, because I had that weight lifted off. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you realize that, you know what? I know why and who you are and why you came, and it all made sense. And I was just so happy, and I had that attitude of gratitude. But it changes over time. We get a little bit jaded. We start thinking that, well, I mean, giving, what does that mean? Who should even give? Well, in the context of what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the questions on giving. So the first question is who should give? We've kind of already covered a little bit of that, but I believe the believer should give. As Christians, we have a variety of reasons that we've heard through numerous Bible studies on why we give, right? One of them, classic example that's given, is that God has been so generous and gracious to us that we should be generous and gracious in return. That's one of the reasons. Another reason, it belongs to God and you are just redistributing it. You're a steward. Another reason, there's joy in giving. A third, how about this? It teaches you spiritual lessons. And the last one, it's a good thing to help out your fellow man or woman, right? I'm not saying any of those are wrong. Matter of fact, I mean, there's good points to all of those. But I think we miss the point when we just focus on any one of those by themselves or even together. We miss the whole point of giving. So I guess the question would be first, do we agree that believers should be giving, right? Yes. Does anybody disagree? Because you gotta come up and defend yourself. All right, I didn't think so. Exactly. So as givers, right, as believers, we should be givers. But it should be more than that. I mean, because you see that the world, in general, unbelievers are giving as well. So what is the difference? If we're to be giving, and we see that the world is giving with all their charity and, you know, philanthropist, that's a fancy word, right? Somebody who gives a lot of money. You can only be a philanthropist if you have lots of money, it seems. And matter of fact, the Nordic countries where you guys live are some of the most generous nations on the earth. In 2011, Sweden was the most generous donor in the world, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, using their key metrics of giving. Sweden, yay. Amen. Yeah, but guess what? In 2012, you were dethroned by another country. Anybody want to guess? Luxembourg. What? They are way smaller than you, Sweden. Way smaller. You need to bring up your game, right? That's what the world does. It's a competition in giving. Right? Look how much we gave. I mean, people are studying it. And I mean, what's the purpose of identifying who's the most giving? I mean, somebody paid people to identify who was the most giving nation. I mean, there was probably a lot of effort into that. Who was giving? And okay, does this fit the key metrics of economic cooperation and development in our world? And no, that doesn't really. I mean, it was only water. I mean, seriously, who was tracking that and why? Just give. So what's the difference? I mean, when we have all these people that are giving, how is our giving any different? I mean, are we like everyone else? In some sense, our giving is different because of one key thing, that you can't just use a phrase to say, this is why believers give. Our giving should point back to our Lord. Our giving should bring glory and honor to our Lord. That's the difference. Too often, right, giving becomes something where you're identifying with, look what Sweden did. So for those Swedes that, you know, took the credit there, right? Joel? Right? No, he's hiding now. But seriously, that's the way the world does it. It brings, you know, and you hear people talk about it on interviews, and it's like, well, yes, when I donated to my charity, and it's like, you know, just do it. You don't have to, you know, bring glory to yourself. We give not to bring glory to ourselves. So the next question is why do we give? And it kind of ties in with the who, but specifically, why do we give? One, because Jesus said so. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says this, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. That's in the New Living Translation. I love how that says that. They received all the reward they will ever get. And we focus on that, and we'll talk more later about that. But in verse 2, it starts off, it says, when you give. Talking to the disciples, talking to us, Jesus doesn't say, if you give. He doesn't say, you know, if it just happens to come up. He says, when you give. So it's not like an option. He's talking at that this is going to happen, and when you give, this is the way you do it. So often, you know, it comes up that, you know, well, that was the Old Testament. I mean, they had to give. There were requirements. We're under grace now. You ever hear that before? It's different now, right? You guys have never heard that? Maybe it's just in the States? No? Grace. Yeah. You know, I'm talking about giving. The peanut gallery. Where people say that giving is only an Old Testament deal? Yeah? No? Unfortunately, There's no differentiation there. Jesus says, when you give. When you give. He expected his followers to be givers. He was outlining how to give because it was a part of serving and loving God. He was speaking, hey, when you do this, don't do it like the hypocrites. Don't do it like them. Because giving is an outworking of love. It's something that we do because we love other people and we see needs and we fill those needs. Jesus says in John 3:16 in the New Living, he says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to also give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. That's part of giving. It's an outworking of love. In verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees his brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Huh? Yeah, right? If you see it, how can you love? I mean, 1 John, it just outlines what love is, and we know what that love is because we see Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life. And we give our lives for our brothers, our sisters, and it's a giving. You know, giving is just an outworking of love. And so we see why we give, because it's a compassion thing. We do it because we love people. We love the Lord, and we see things, we see needs, and we fill them. Another reason why we give is because it's worship to God. As I said earlier, it's something that we recognize and we realize everything we have came from him, and it's just our gratitude, and we're thankful, and we give out of trust because we worship him. We know that he's taking care of us. He's doing all the things that we've ever needed, right? Everything we've ever needed comes from the Lord, and he's taking care of us. And it's a form of worship. We see that the people gave in the Old Testament, and it was a form of worship. In 1 Chronicles 29:9, it says, the people rejoiced over the offering, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. And it goes on talking about how David praised the Lord in front of the whole assembly, and he just sings this song, and he says in verse 11, he says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, everything in the heavens, and everything on the earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. And they were excited, and they weren't even building the temple at this point. They're just gathering the supplies. But people gave, and they were happy, and it was a form of worship. This, you know, spiritual sacrifice, you know, giving, there's a loving aspect to it. And sometimes we forget that. It's more than just being instructed to. It's more than just an outworking of love. It's even more than just worship. Giving shows our trust in the Lord, right? It's funny how people trust the bank, that banks that, you know, you have banks here too, right? Okay, cool. Just checking. Because it's different, I guess. But you know what? People put their trust that you have money in a bank and it's going to be there. In 1929, the U.S. had the Great Depression, and almost everybody lost. Matter of fact, over a five-day period, about $25 billion in 1929 dollars. It was about $357 billion lost in 5 days, gone. People didn't get their money back. And they trusted those banks. They trusted those institutions. And we trust them. We trust that we're going to put it in our ATM card and it's going to be there. Why? I mean, our trust should be in the Lord. Not in the banks, not in the governments. Giving, you know, is a hard thing because people have to trust. One of the fears that people have is that if I give or I have this giving spirit, I won't have enough for... Wow, right? I mean, I can't really give that much because, you know, I got to take care of things. I have things to take care of. I have responsibilities. Those are the conversations where we talk ourselves out of being giving. I mean, I've been there. I've been there. Matter of fact, the first thing ever that came up about giving, and it didn't come from anybody. I wasn't pressured. There was nobody telling me I needed to do this, and I was trying to reconcile how I was going to do it. It was just between me and the Lord, and I was literally counting change for diapers. I mean, you know, it was just it, and that's the way we were. We started off, and we were just like, you know, it was tight. And I'm counting change for diapers, but it was laid on my heart to give. And I was like, and I'm new into this whole church thing, and I'm like, why would you even put that on my mind to give? I mean, I can't really give. I don't have anything. I'm counting change right now for diapers. And it was almost as God was saying, well, do you trust me? It wasn't a conversation about how much that I was lacking. It was how much that I was lacking trust. Because I didn't trust. I was arguing that I can't do this. I only have this much, Lord. I can't give to you now. I can't do any of this. I mean, it was just this wrong, you know, I was just focusing on the change. I wasn't focusing on that. I wasn't trusting him. Because on my own, I only had literally coins. And I'm glad that, you know, I kind of worked that out with the Lord, because you know what? I don't think about those things anymore. I just trust him. It's like, Lord, it's like with Paul, I've had, you know, much and I've had little. But in all ways, I trust him because I know that he's always had my back. He's always taken care of it. And really, so giving is a transaction of trust as well. Martin Luther says this about giving. A man needs three conversions. First, a conversion of the head, then a conversion of the heart, and then thirdly, the conversion of the pocketbook. You know, because that's where, you know, trust, you know, you really have to trust when you start giving, right? Because there's a connection between the hand and the heart in giving. There's this transaction where you're going to give and you start trusting and you're like, do I really trust? There's a story. You guys know Sam Houston in Texas. He's, you know, one of the founders of the state of Texas, and he's a hero in their history. You know, the Alamo, you know, where they got overran. There's a story that when he was baptized in a little stream, he went down to the stream and he basically took everything out of his pockets. We do the same thing now. People are emptying their pockets, especially baptisms that happen that day. I love that when that happens, when you're doing other baptisms and somebody says, hey, I want to do it right now. And they just go down with their clothes on. Very similar, but he empties all of his pockets except for his wallet. And the preacher actually noticed that he had his wallet. He'd taken out his papers, his glasses and everything, but left his wallet. The preacher actually says, hey, you forgot your wallet. Can I have it? I'll take it and I'll set it down to the side. And he says, here's was his response. If there's any part of me that needs baptizing, it's my wallet. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Many people's wallets need to be baptized, meaning that they would put their trust, their finances in the Lord as much as they do their salvation. You know, that he's in control of those things, that he knows what's going on. Giving gives us the right perspective on money and resources. Because we can't take money with us. I mean, I don't know if you, you know, heard the countless stories that people who have hoarded money. But recently, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago, there was a person in Las Vegas that they lived a pauper's life, and they had all this gold stashed all around their property. They couldn't find anybody who knew them, and they finally found a relative, and they became instantly like uber wealthy because of this. But you know, I mean, they stowed all this money and they didn't take it with them. I mean, they couldn't take it with them. But by giving, we can, you know, invest in the kingdom and laying up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy it. Thieves can't break in and steal it. Jesus says, where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so all the resources that we do have, yes, we're stewards. And yes, we got to take care of things. You know, we have bills, we have responsibilities, braces, payments on homes, those type of things. But don't forget that there's a part of the kingdom. And when we give, it reminds us why we're here. You know, that we're working for the kingdom. And so that's kind of the why we give. Now, how do we give? I mean, how do we really give? What is the how? I mean, we're not really taught that, are we? How to give. A lot of the churches in the States just beat you over the head about give, give, give. I've heard stories of people that have come to the churches, actually sat in front of my desk and were mad at me for what churches have done to family members. I had this lady who was so upset about what this church did to her mother, who was on a very fixed income. And they basically took her tax return and they filled out her tithe envelopes based on her tax return for the whole year. Broke my heart. I mean, there's a little bit too much of the army in me and that blue collar that I wanted to go find those people, quite frankly. I'm serious. I wanted to go and just say, what are you doing? I know denominations that actually will send out statements every quarter and say, this is what you said that you were going to promise on your pledge, and this is where you are and how much you are short. Yeah. And so that's how people usually are taught how to give. I mean, you know, beating them down. But I think, you know, they got it wrong. Because, you know, giving is between you and the Lord. I don't want to be involved in it. I dislike, probably one of the biggest things I dislike is when in the church, when somebody feels that they have a need to tell me that they gave or going to give or what they're giving, I shut it down so quick. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't care to know, because Jesus has already said how we're to give. We don't do it like the world does. We're not tooting our horn. Like, look what I gave. Look how generous I am. Yes, please notice me a little bit more. It's not what we're supposed to do. It just grieves me when that happens. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that maybe, you know, have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when they, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. That's how you give. You do it not to be seen by men, not to get a stone with your name on it, not to get a bench in front of the church with your name on it. You do it before God. It's between you and God. So much so that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. That's the example we're giving. And so that's how we give. You're to examine your motives. Why are you giving in the first place? Are you giving to be seen? Are you giving to glorify God? Are you giving to get man's approval? Or are you giving to get God's approval? You know, admiration of man, it's a slippery, slippery slope. Because our giving is just between us and God, not, you should never invite people into what your giving is. And that's why I shut people down so quickly. It's like, look, I don't want to know. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not going to give you that admiration. So I don't want to know. I don't care to know. Because when you invite people into your giving, you're not worshiping the Lord. You're really replacing God in that event. I mean, because God doesn't even want any part of that. I know it sounds pretty harsh, but Jesus says when you do your charitable deeds before men, it's to be seen by them, not to be seen by him. And then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And your eyes are off God. And the one you're trying to impress is man and not him. And Jesus says, well, your reward will come from man and not from God. And so giving is this, you know, secrecy thing that's just, you know, how we do it. It's this before God, and that's it. That's that transaction. But also, how we give is we give cheerfully. The Bible talks about a Christian, our giving must be willing and freely giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Love that verse. Love that verse. To remind us that we're not giving out of grumpiness. I mean, that grumpiness or reluctance. All right, we did a message on giving. Fine. I'll give. I'll be more giving. You know what I say to that? Keep it. I've told people that before. Keep it. I've even had somebody complain about how things were going and what they felt that they should do. And I said, I will pull a report right now. Because I used to be an administrative pastor at a church. And I said, I will pull a report right now and I'll give you back every cent. Do you want that? Because it's totally cool. They looked at me like, no, I gave to the Lord. Then let it be. But I wanted my money to buy this projector. Oh, really? Well, do you know how much a projector cost? No. Well, that projector costs $5,000. And you're saying that your $400 would buy the projector, and I don't have the money yet to buy the projector. So we're going to keep it in the bank, and I'll buy a projector when we can. So do you want your money back? No. Oh, okay. I mean, seriously, I'm pretty, just flat about that. Because if you gave to the Lord, great. If you didn't give to the Lord, hey, I'll give back. It's totally cool. Not on me. There's a story of a mother who wanted to teach her daughter a lesson. Gave her a quarter and a dollar. She went to church, and she said, you pick which one you want to put in the plate. So the little girl went, and afterwards the mom said, what did you do? And she says, well, I gave the quarter because I wouldn't be too happy, giving the dollar, because the man said at the pulpit that we should be cheerful givers. It's a powerful lesson for that little girl to remember, if it's true. If you are not a cheerful giver, keep your dollar. Keep it. And I know that's probably what most people don't want to hear, but if you're not a cheerful giver, you're not going to be happy sitting in the seat giving. You're going to be grumpy about a lot of things. So keep it. Keep your dollar. It's between you and the Lord. Give the quarter, whatever you want to do. But you know what? That's the problem. You start thinking about it. And the Bible says you shouldn't think about it. It says, again, we read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one as he purposes in his heart. The little girl wasn't thinking with her heart. She was thinking with her mind. And when we start thinking, it becomes a business of giving. We're using our head and we start reasoning. Well, of course I won't be cheerful because of the dollar. And the verse says that it should be more prompted by our heart. And we should follow the purposes of our heart in giving. You start giving more correctly when the promptings come from your heart, because you're not deliberating it. You're not going through this, well, I think that I should do this. No, Lord, you purpose in my heart. This is what I'm going to give. This is what I'm going to do. Fortunately, I've been in situations where I've been responsible for building programs for other churches and helping them. And one of the most joyous things, and little kids are just amazing givers, right? And little kids, I've had little kids come up and not really know what to do, and they're not giving it. I know we just talked about how you give and not to be seen by men, but little kids don't know what to do, and so they're seeking help. And I've had them come up and say, here's this change and how can I give it? And I've had a little kid give like all their coins. Nobody knew, just because of the role I was filling as administrator, they had all their coins and they wanted to give all that they had. They don't even think about that. They're just like, you know what? The Lord told me to do this. Hey, great. I'm going to help you in that. And I get to talk to them and I get to minister to them. But kids give because they use and they, don't focus on the thoughts. They just give from their heart as it's purposed in their heart. And it's amazing when they do that because, it's just so special. It's so sweet. Sitting down, one of the things that being an administrator, you get to be involved in all that stuff and you get to see, you just get to see that kind of stuff. And it's special and sweet. These little kids coming in and they have these cheerful giving attitudes, but when you get to be an adult, it's different because we start worrying. I mean, yeah, that's a great story, Daryl, but you know what? I can't give like a kid gives. I mean, I have responsibilities and we have all these things to do, and then we start worrying about stuff. But Jesus tells us, why do you worry? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about what you're going to drink? Why do you worry about what you're going to wear? All these things the Gentiles seek. You guys know the verse. You guys know the passage. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm not saying that you have to give everything. I'm not here to say that. We're talking about giving in general, but I'm just saying that, if the purposes of your heart, whatever God has laid on your heart, pray about it and then do it, and do it cheerfully. If you feel better and, to set limits on yourself, hey, go for it. But I just say, you know what? Just pray and be someone that is just trusting in the Lord and just say, Lord, everything that I have is yours. I think it's just a better transaction when it's just between you and God and you're worshiping the Lord and you're not measuring your worship and you're just following his leading and you're praying and you're seeking him and he's going to implant these feelings on your life and your heart and you're just doing it and you're prompted by that. There's freedom in that. And it's not this mandated thing where it's like, well, I guess I have to do this now. We could do a workshop on giving. And, you know, I mean, I have to start setting up these, you know, no, don't do that. You'll make it a duty for yourself and you'll make it something and you're going to start missing out on the blessing of giving because then it's not cheerful anymore. You'll start whining, complaining, and you'll start acting, you know, in a way that you lose that joy. You lose that cheerfulness. Another thing on how. People will ask, well, how much do I give? I mean, that's a common question. When you counsel, somebody says, how much? What should we give? I hear that, you know, the Old Testament says we should give a tithe. That's 10%. Well, if you go by that practice of the Old Testament, it's actually quite more than that. I mean, in the Old Testament, all the things that they gave, you know, between the temple, you know, the tithe and the things they gave to the temple, the things they gave to the poor, it's about 23.3%, somebody estimated, is what the Old Testament, you know, Jew gave. Sounds like kind of like taxes, huh? Right? 23.3? You guys pay a lot more taxes here, though. Right? A lot? And the churches, I understand, are the state churches are tax funded. Is that correct? The taxes go to certain state church things. We don't really have that. And often, especially here, I'm sure that there's a transaction that goes that some people look at the churches and say, well, the churches are provided by that, but not churches. The state churches are, right? Is that an accurate statement? The state churches are. It's almost like when Jesus said that, you know, this is Caesar's. And Caesar decides where it goes and it goes to a state church. Taxes are an interesting thing. We have to pay them, right? The Pharisees tried to entangle Jesus on the taxes and they brought him that coin and he says, whose image is on this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So there's a difference, isn't there, between what Caesar says where the money should go. And we shouldn't get involved in that transaction. If that's the way that your governments have said where money should go, then that's between them and, you know, their responsibilities. And we render to what God's is what God's. And we don't involve ourselves into that. I mean, if you guys don't like it, can you vote them out? Is that possible? Yeah, sure. That's what we have. We have these societies we can vote. But right now, apart from that thing, not just giving God what our leftovers are, but just giving Him the best, the first fruits, the cream of the crop. God, I'm going to give you everything because you've given me everything. You've given me eternal life. So that's kind of the who and the why and the how and the what's in giving. So since it is a workshop, does anybody have any questions? No? I didn't answer them all. I'm sure that I didn't. Or are you just afraid that I'll say, well, something crazy because I am crazy? Yeah? No, seriously. Anybody have any questions? None? Yes, sir.
Should you plan your giving?
I think that you should just pray. I think that, you know, having a plan is not a bad thing, but, you know, again, as we, discussed that just giving, as your heart, you know, says, I think there should be some, you know, kind of, formal process that we give. We see in the early church, they gave, you know, at the beginning of the week. And so there's got to be a plan to that so you can set aside resources. But I think that you should just always be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit when you give. And you may have a plan, but you should be willing to change that plan accordingly. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what we want, right? We want somebody to tell us that if you give $50 every week or every month or every year, you're fine. I think we sell ourselves short. Because we're not praying at that point because I told you what to give and you said, I met the standard that, you know, we had at the Scandinavian Conference workshop and I'm good before the Lord. I think that, you know, I cheat you if I do that.
But you could have a personal plan.
Sure. In between you and the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a plan.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that you just need to be flexible and led by the Spirit because your plan could be so, nope, this is my plan and you said it and then He may want to tweak it or change it. And I think sometimes we could be too rigid when we do a formal plan. But yes, there's nothing wrong with having something set that's flexible. I guess maybe you could say it that write it in sand so it's easily changed.
When you tie, that's short of time.
I'm sorry?
You earn it, for example. That's a tie.
Yeah, but it's much more than that, right? Like we discussed. I mean, the tithe in the Old Testament was more than that. It was more than just 10%. It was 10% of this, but they gave a lot more than that. And so I think if you had a larger crop that year, right, your 10% would be much different than it was the last year. And I think we focus too much on a tenth. Just, you know, be led by the Lord. Anyone? Yes. I'm not saying that.
I mean, I've always been taught that we should bear tithe and that we should just give. Other than that.
I mean, I just think that you just, you know, your offering to the Lord, right, is you setting aside and praying about it and you're giving. And, you know, it's a part of, I just think we focus too much on the words, right, the tithe. And it's like, Lord, this is what I have. And as the passage said, what is purposed in your heart and your giving, and if that's whatever your tithe is for that week, and then if it's above and beyond that, I mean, it just becomes something that you're constantly in tune with the Lord and what you're doing. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's a form of worship. Anyone? Do you guys want to join in or comment on anything? Because you know your churches and the things that, you know, kind of the different cultural aspects.
I think it's important to clarify that the widow, the two old mites, that was worth, in the eyes of most of us, that was worth Swedish money or something like that. It wasn't worth a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it was worth nothing, really, in the eyes of most people. And she gave that.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, it's not about a percentage. It's about that you give, and I think you're along the same lines, you give what you can.
Yep.
And what the Lord puts in your heart, whether it's 0.5%, 10%, 50%, mm-hmm. or 99%. That doesn't make you a better Christian or anything else. It's between you and the Lord.
Yep.
And the percentage is not important. Is that
correct? Yep. Yeah, because we do. We focus too much on that value. And it should be just like, wow. Here, Lord. Mm-hmm. Because it's not something that we get into this rut that, again, if we gave an amount, whether it was a tithe or a tenth, and you're always meeting that, you're not praying. You're not going through the process of just, you know, worshiping and just enjoying giving. You know, some of the things that I think for myself and being in business was being able to give in secret and being, you know, just having fun with it. You know, just having fun with the process of giving and not being, restricted. I often thought that, you know, when you read or you hear somebody talking about God is a debtor to no man, it's like, I wonder if I can outgive God. I never was able to outgive God because I, you know, can never do what God did for me. I couldn't do it for myself. You know, I couldn't take care of my sins. I couldn't take care of the things that, you know, spiritually, I needed him. And so the giving and the things that he'd given me, I truly looked at being a steward of it and just being, okay, Lord, this is all of yours. What am I supposed to do with it? You know, it's all. I mean, that's truly the way I look at it. And it's just like, okay, what do I do? And so.
I like to mention a special case from the United States. Modesto, Calvary Chapel, Modesto.
Okay.
We have the pastor that is telling me,
mm-hmm.
he said that if you are a Christian and you are in my church, I expect you to pay a tithe, to give a tithe.
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know all of the context. I know Damien, I don't know all of those contexts, but I do know this. You know, we just talked through, and we see Jesus says, when you give, right? And there's, we talked about, you know, that I do see that in the scriptures, Jesus telling us if you have a cloak and, you know, you should give that cloak and, you know, you should go the extra mile for your brother. We can go through all these passages, and I'm not going to go into what Damien said without knowing the context, but I just know that when we look at giving, if you have the right relationship with the Lord, giving's not a problem. And I don't have to try to drum it up. I don't have to try to do anything. I know personally, and you know, we'll close with this because of the time. We've, you know, got to the time. But I know personally when we started the church there in Thornton. The Lord told me to start in the school and not do a Bible study, and I was to start in a school. And that means that I have to sign a lease. And the lease was $3,000. We didn't have a congregation. We weren't sent with people. Like, there was nobody. It was just my wife and my four children. That was the church. And we were going to start Sunday service in a school. And the rent was, I think, $3,400 a month. And we didn't have that. And my wife asked me the question, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, the Lord told me to do this. He's going to take care of it. And the first Sunday, I didn't have a tithe message. I didn't say, okay, we have church in this school, and so we have bills, and we have to pay them. I mean, it's so crazy to rent a school there. Not only do you rent the school, you have to pay for the AC separate, which is crazy. Because it was hot one day, I'm like, can you guys turn on the AC? And they're like, well, you didn't pay for that. I'm like, well, okay, tell me how much and I'll pay for that because it's hot. But seriously, they add for all the little things. I have to pay for the janitor to open the door. And I'm like, you would have thought that would have been in the rent. It's crazy. But I didn't tell everybody Sunday morning that they had to tithe. I didn't tell everybody Sunday morning that this is what our rent is. By the end of the month, I had 6 months worth of rent in the church by not even speaking a single question. We didn't pass a plate. There was a box in the corner. And God's like, there's 6 months worth of rent. I'm like, okay, we could be a church for 6 months in this school. Great. Perfect. And I think that if you just have the right relationship with your finances and you're focusing on the Lord and you're focusing on those things, everything else, because we are taught a lot of different things about giving. And people know that there's rent. They know that they have to pay for the AC and the lights and all these things. And you just look at it because, Lord, each of us as individual, we're responsible to the Lord for those things. And I don't want to be involved in that transaction. So I don't talk. I don't get involved in it. We can teach on it. We can talk about it. But we shouldn't be so, you know, in a position where I am the person that is drumming it up. Because then you become resistant because you're not doing it for the right reason, right? It's no longer worship. It's like because I made you do it. I made you do it. And I don't want to make you do anything. I'm just going to share what the scriptures say, and you're responsible for it. Amen?